Welcome to In the Limelight. This is your host, Matthew McGee. We have a holiday version of the show. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. What else is there? Hanukkah. There's so many wonderful things we're celebrating, and we're celebrating them all right now. But this time, I have a very special guest host today. Jose is out today. Jose is actually touring with Cirque du Soleil and couldn't be here. So Avery Anderson, the marketing director at America Stage. Did I say that right, Avery?
That's your title?
Enough. The director of marketing.
Yes. You got to switch that around because it means more if you're the director.
I know, right? I get paid more to say director first.
That's right.
So that's why
I like that. Avery Anderson, you're with us today. You are a guest host. We're so happy. You're an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster when you think about it.
Yeah, I used to work in TV, so I thought today, oh my gosh, Jose's sick, and I know Jose quite well.
Yeah.
And I said, well, maybe I should try to do a Jose impersonation to start.
I don't know if that would have been a great
idea. And then I said, well, one, that's probably cultural appropriation.
Yes.
And two, like, he's in the circus at the moment. If I try to do an impression, this will all become a circus. So I aborted that mission very quickly.
Yes. We're happy, though. We're happy he's out there on the road. We're excited about that. I'm sure he'll be back in 2023, and he can tell us all about what it was like to be a part of these wonderful Cirque du Soleil shows. People are going to really believe that.
I would pay money
that.
To see Jose upside down, rear in the air,
Well,
flipping through.
I think many people would. I really do. But we're so excited. We've got a lot of things happening today. We've got some very special guests. We have some fun stuff happening with Mr. Michael Raby. Tampa Bay Times called Michael Raby Tampa Bay's Music Man, which I think was a compliment. But for those of us who know the Music Man, the Music Man is sort of a con artist, and Michael is not that. But that was one of his monikers.
Maybe they meant it in like the Wolverine way.
They did.
Like Michael Raby is the Tampa Bay Wolverine.
Yeah, Michael Raby is as loved as Hugh Jackman, and I think that is actually a true statement.
That's true.
But he'll be here to talk about some great shows happening. We've got shows happening all over St. Pete, all over everywhere. Plus, we're bringing on someone really special. Everyone knows about Ybor City and their chickens. So we're bringing on the man behind the Ybor Chickens Society and his chicken. So there will be a chicken on the set. You know, Abby, our executive producer, she talked to me yesterday and said, are you afraid of chickens? I was like, I grew up on a farm. I'm not nervous. How about you, Avery?
I'm not afraid of chickens, but I do have a phobia of chicken nuggets, so I'm glad we're seeing the live ones today.
Right, all sorts of shapes that are not in nature. All right, we have some audience-submitted questions. I was very nervous about this, but Avery, you've got the first one.
Okay, this is a little bit longer one, so you're going to have to stay with me.
Okay.
Here, ready? I let my boyfriend's bird, Kiki, out by accident the other day when no one was home. He flew straight by and away, and I never saw him again. I feel like I'm reading, like, an On Dasher, On Dancer.
You know, you're doing great.
And flew right away.
Yeah.
I immediately left, and now he's blaming his roommate for the missing bird.
Oh, my God.
Do I tell him I always hated the bird, but now I feel bad? I don't want this to come between us. Help.
What do you think? I mean, I know you might have some advice. I have some advice, too, but... let's see. What do you have to say?
Like, I wish I had more context. Like, how long ago was the bird let out? Like, are we outside of the statutory position to let him know? Like, was this a week? Was this a year? Also, what's the relationship between the friend that is being blamed and the girlfriend?
I know.
Or I assume girlfriend.
Well, here's what I want. Here's something I always say. If they don't need to know, they shouldn't. You know what I mean? this is their beloved bird. So I think the more we learn about this, I think there needs to be a whole January episode on what happened with this bird.
That's true.
I think we know who did this, and we will have them on the next episode to investigate.
I would also investigate, does Build-A-Bear sell stuffed birds? But then I could get like a little chirper to put up in it, and like no one would ever know.
No one would ever know. Or you can find a bird that looks just like it. And this is what my mom did with our fish. She would say, oh, they didn't go anywhere. That goldfish is still alive.
It was just a new goldfish.
Just a new goldfish.
So I think moral of the story, don't tell.
I would not say a word to anyone. I wouldn't upset my boyfriend and his bird. Here's the next question. Worst lip sync song you've ever seen done or performed? Well, here's what's funny. I'm a terrible lip syncer, and though I've done drag for a long time, I'm not really great at it. One of the worst songs I ever chose to lip sync is Tequila. Do you know Tequila?
Yeah.
I came on stage and it went dun, 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 dun. Tequila. That's all
you
I
did
ever
not
did.
Do that. This isn't a real story.
And you know what's funny?
No, it's not.
You know what's funny? People really loved it. So maybe it wasn't the worst, but it was certainly...
How drunk were they?
Well, you know, I mean, come on. It was Club Paradise in Valdosta, Georgia on I-75.
Okay.
That was one of my...
I think to live in Valdosta, you have to be drunk.
But I did that number at Club Paradise. I think it was a terrible choice. What I've ever seen performed? My gosh. I mean... I
don't know if I can accurately answer this question because I've never seen you lip sync.
Right, I don't do it very often.
But I would say, so I lip sync one time. I don't do drag, but
Yeah.
Middle school church basement.
What'd you do?
Avery and his friend said, let's lip sync to We Didn't Start the Fire. Did we know the song? No.
And that's a really hard one. Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
You know, us two white kids were like, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All we knew was We Didn't Start the Fire. And we just, the rest. And that's a long song, too.
Yeah.
And we committed to the whole thing. But, you know, I sold it with the dance moves.
You can just move your mouth around on that one. And I think, I've seen drag queens still do that to this day. They just move their mouth around. I'm never a big fan of it. I always say if I was ever on Drag Race and they said, now is the time to lip sync for your life, I would just have,
I give up.
In the confessional, I'd say, it's been great being on the show. Thank you all. Because I'm terrible at it. I'm really terrible at it. We have a voice memo.
All right.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah, well, Abby said we can't afford to mic it into the system.
Okay.
So she texted it to me. So
okay.
Stand by here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you ready? Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me.
This is an important question, actually.
All right, I don't know if it's just going to start playing, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, I had it.
Hi, so I am 21. I live in Orlando, and I go to school for business, for economics, and lately I have been failing my classes the past semester or two, and I have one more semester to graduate, and I just don't know if this is the right major for me, and I think my heart really wants to do fashion and costume design, but I just don't know how to tell my super, super close-minded mom. I don't know where to even start since I've been here for 4 years, and I just don't know if it's worth the risk, and I also am a drag queen, and I don't know where to start. I don't know if this is the right choice, or if I will regret this, even though it's something I've always secretly wanted to do.
It's so interesting, right? When I read this, the gist of what this question is, because we do hours of preparation for this show and research. When I first read it, all I could think to myself was I was going to tell them, don't do it. Because, you know, I've been doing theater for like, I know, but I mean, it's true. I mean, let me just say this to you. You know that theater right now, I think, is hard. I don't think it's, after the pandemic, I don't think theater's gotten to be easy. I think it's still kind of difficult. I don't think there are as many jobs as there used to be. I think it's tough. But I would say this, hearing it is a whole different story.
Yeah.
Especially since the person has an interest in fashion and costume design, we always need more of that.
That's true.
You know, if they were going to be, I'd like to be an actor in the theater or musical theater, I would say, okay, stick with your economics classes and enjoy your life.
But he's failing them.
I know. Well, that's
here's my thing, and yeah. I'm going to be very clear about this for
okay,
a second,
ahead.
So I want you to really listen.
Okay.
This kid sounds cute, and he sounds single.
Oh, my god.
And I am single, and I am also cute. So I think we can be cute and not single together.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So I don't care that he's failing.
Okay.
That's fine.
Right.
Come on over. Make me some new skirts, hun. Like, let's go on a date. Orlando's a little far, so I would first ask you to transfer to USF.
Orlando's far?
I don't have a car.
Okay.
Well, you want me hitchhiking down I-4?
Yeah, no, I do not, because you'll never get
hike
where you're
my skirt
to
up
go.
A little bit,
oh,
be
gosh.
There by the next day.
This
but
is all gonna
I don't
be
know. Here's
out,
my
probably.
Thing. Live your authentic self.
Yeah.
So if you want to not do economics, because first off, who wants to do economics in a recession? Well, maybe you want to do economics
in a
recession.
Why would you want to do theater in a recession? See, this is
such a
deep discussion.
He really chose two bad ideas
no,
here.
No, absolutely. And I was talking with our executive producer as well about drag. There's so many drag performers now, so I don't know. The
but
thing
are they
is,
good?
Well, that's the well, we could that's for all that's for our episode in February. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, being a drag queen, working in costume design, and knowing a little bit about economics, you know. At least enough to
that's
pass.
That's a lot for a great first date. That's all I'm going to say.
But also I think one of my things that I like about it ultimately is they have all the skills, so why not try to use them? I mean, here's the thing. These days, the idea of having one job is sort of laughable. I mean, I do many different things to make a living, and they all... I get dressed up in drag. I act on the stage. I work in marketing at a theater company. You know, I mean, this is... You know, you have to do a bunch of different things. Perhaps everything that they're doing right now is going to lead them down the right path.
Or
economics,
for,
drag, fashion.
I'll pay for dinner on the first date. He doesn't need to have
oh
multiple
my gosh,
jobs.
You're really
it's
looking
fine.
For a date.
All right.
I'm not. I mean, I've been married. I'm married. But I love to hear that. So maybe if we find out more about them, and you know, you can say hello.
Hit me up. Slide
on whatever
them,
the
slide
kids.
In those DMs anytime.
Oh gosh, whatever
you
the
know.
Kids are doing, the grinder, the tweeping. I don't
all right.
Know.
Now we have to talk about duffel bag.
Okay, let's talk about this. I love this. So we want you to submit questions for the next episodes, okay? And you will win a haul of books. A haul of books. Not a haul.
Like I hauled
like a haul,
it from the
like
store.
Like I hauled something
away. Not
like
away. The haul of presents.
Yeah, from Tombolo Books, and which is very close to where we broadcast this, or where we record it.
But I think we need like some enticing. So I'm going to...
Okay.
I'm gonna pull a book. I've
okay,
been sitting on it. I've been sitting on this book the whole time.
This show with Avery is getting crazy.
Trixie and Katya's book, because I've always wanted to sit on them.
Okay.
Or them sit on me. I think
okay.
it's fine.
This is all edited out.
But so, I want to read your future. So,
okay.
Tell me how old you are. What's your
me?
Real age? Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm 47 years
old. Okay, we're going to go to page 47.
And so, we're looking at a Trixie and Katya book,
yeah.
Your Guide to Womanhood.
And I'm going
to
read the first
okay,
sentence.
What's the first thing I'm
and
terrified?
And this is your prediction for 2023.
Oh, my God, please.
I think that she is so rich and so iconic that no one is stepping in. And I think someone should, because to let someone go down in flames, but then again, look at somebody who's a Madonna stan.
There you go.
That's a lot for
I'm
you
all
to
of
take
those
on
things.
In
I don't know if I'm rich, but I mean, I guess, you know, we can live that fantasy.
But you're iconic.
I try to be. I definitely. Trixie and Katya's book will be part of the haul from Tombolo
yes,
Books.
Yes, you get this book in the bag.
It is a guide to modern womanhood. Trixie and Katya, they are the best. Trixie Mattel and Katya Zabelalakhalava. I don't know the last
I just call
name.
Her Katya.
Yeah, just call her Katya. She's been laying off the Russia stuff anyway recently.
That's probably
for
smart.
Obvious reasons. Yeah. In fact, the other day she said, I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Did she really?
Yeah, instead of St. Petersburg.
Well,
Russia.
I haven't seen her around the streets.
No, you haven't, and you would see her around the streets. You're always on the streets, sleeping in parks. This is for a whole other episode with Avery. We'll be right back. We have a message from our friends at Enigma right here on Central Avenue. Enigma Bar. You can see great shows with Daphne Ferraro and also have some great drinks right there over at Enigma right on Central Avenue. And here are a few words from them.
Hey St. Pete, this is Avery Anderson. I've been living in downtown for about 3 years now, and I've pretty much been to every happening spot on the map. Of all the places to check out, Enigma is worth it. From the drink specials, to the shows, to the energy it brings, who can beat happy hour every day from 1 to 9 p.m.? Literally 2-for-1 cocktails, shots, bottled beers, and house wines. Perfect for a cheap date. Here's your weekly lineup at a glance. Mondays, you can catch me at karaoke, 9 p.m. to 2:45 a.m. Well worth the Tuesday hangover. Wednesdays, watch as emerging stars compete in the Show Us Your Talent drag contest at 11 p.m. Join and you may just win $175. On Thursdays and Fridays, drag shows hosted by the beautiful Daphne Ferraro. There's never a dull night at Enigma.
Welcome back to Get the Limelight. I am Avery Anderson, filling in for Jose Aviles, here with Matthew McGee.
That's right.
We're going to talk about a really fun show. This show came up last year. I remember it was like 2021, right? We all come out of the pandemic.
Yes.
The average person had gained 10 pounds. I'd gained 20. And we just really needed something to make us laugh.
Absolutely.
And you and Mr. Michael Raby, who's here with us today. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Kind of were tasked with creating something to just bring some joy and maybe make a little money for the theater.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about The Night Before. I would love to know where this idea came from. And also, why bring it back for a second year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, actually, Michael, you can jump on this too. So the first time we did The Night Before, it was a challenge made by our artistic director because we were at a meeting remarking about what holiday shows work and which ones don't and which one we should choose. Should it be a play about Christmas? Should it be a play that I say is Christmas adjacent, where it just happens to be at Christmas? And we've had great success with both. For years, we did A Christmas Carol every year. Then we did The Lion in Winter, which is Christmas adjacent. Very popular show. Up here in the Starcatcher, Christmas adjacent. Holiday fair. They all seemed to do great, but we decided we wanted to do a Christmas, a show about Christmas or about gathering at Christmas because no one had been able to do it for a few years.
Right.
And so I basically made a funny remark about, I could write a better Christmas show than some of the ones they offer. And he said, okay, then do it. And I did. And it started out, the idea was to combine Andy Williams' holiday specials with Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I know that sounds insane, but we knew that, I knew I wanted it to be really campy and off the wall, but very heartwarming and traditional.
Yeah.
A mix of both.
And Michael, talk about your involvement as a music director,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What is a music director? What did you do for this production?
Yeah, well, he it had an initial script, and we knew we wanted a lot of, you know, holiday, familiar holiday tunes. I'm a big fan of mashups and medleys.
Yeah.
And like, you know, how the Carol Burnett Show would have like a 15-minute long salute to Cole Porter or something at the end. So he brought the initial script, and we knew we wanted a couple of originals, so I wrote like this opening number the night before Christmas, because it takes place on the 23rd.
Yeah.
And then just a lot of, yeah, mashups and medleys, and we knew in the initial script I have a pet named Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim. A pet cat.
So we knew we wanted some Sondheim as part of it. Mm. So yeah, so we have this amazing, a very merry Stephen Sondheim Christmas.
Yes.
Which every holiday special means.
It's so funny. And how many songs are in that? We do a ton.
Yeah, because why not torture your actors?
Exactly. And I know. And it is a lot for them because they also, it's a parody of the song, so they have to learn alternate lyrics to Sondheim.
So, Attend the Tale of Santa Claus.
Yes.
So,
yes. Pretty Ribbons.
Yes.
Stuff like that. So yeah, and I remember the first time I heard the opening number at Michael's house. He invited me over. We had Domino's Pizza and Brownies, and we wrote, we're kind of putting the show together, and he played the song for me the night before, and I went, oh my gosh, that is intertwining actual dialogue, making it all work together, and it was just a magical thing. But Michael, I started thinking about this. Ever since 2020, how many original things have we written just out of the necessity of doing so? War of the Worlds for the outdoor. Scott and Patty Get a Real Job for the outdoor drive-in.
You wrote new songs
for the Rose and the Beast, and then Night Before, and now Oz. I mean, in only a matter of a few years, and a lot of people say, why are you doing that? It isn't sort of a thing. I think at Freefall, it's not a thing where we're like, oh, look, we can do all this stuff. It's we've been doing a lot of it out of the necessity of trying to be as smart as we can with with our money and other people's money, with the wonderful donors who are, you know, good to us. We want to be as smart, and not necessarily frugal, but just very mindful of that. And if we can create things in-house, we do it, and we've done a lot of it.
What's that like, Mike? Because obviously, like, right, sometimes it takes years to develop a musical.
Oh, sure.
Here, Matt is over here making you turn out new musicals every other week.
Yeah.
So what is that like, the whole different process? Well,
there's a sense of the Mickey and Judy, like, let's put on a show. You know, here, let's get in the barn and put something on.
Yeah.
Or you think of those old television specials that would have, here's a new medley every week. So it's in that, and you're in the zone, and it's great. Like, we're writing shows specifically for our audiences and for our community. Like, War of the Worlds, that was kind of a love letter to the St. Pete community as well. We had local commercials and stuff. So I think it's really fun. It's a very collaborative, you know, atmosphere and raw, putting everything in.
What's different about those things are like Night Before or War of the Worlds, they are just like sort of entertainments. You know, they are just meant to be fun. I mean, they've been working on Oz for... now it's since 2018, 2019, it's not even making its debut until 2023. So certain things get long developments, but then we have these other little things. And Michael, you know, the tandem series that Michael's done with all the cabarets and stuff, which we have a fun one coming up on December 16th with DJ Young, direct from Hamilton.
Yes, he's touring. He's a Tampa Bay native, he's done a lot of work in Orlando. And yeah, he's touring with Hamilton right now. And he was in American Stage's production of Hairspray.
Seamade,
yeah.
Which you musical directed.
Yes.
I mean, Michael's been a big part of American Stage over the years too, especially in the park. And you know, I think you just bring such a level of excellence to the music and to what you do. So it's always exciting to watch. I saw this funny question: what moment does the crowd love the most? It's not even a musical moment, is it, for the night before? So this was very controversial. Both Eric and Michael said, "You're going to do what?" I wrote in a plot that that the character that Robert Spence Gabriel plays and the character that Sarah DeVito plays, Phyllis Schatz, they bring brownies to the party, but one of them are magic brownies, dare I say. Brownies with a bit of a kick. And the joke is, that basically Phyllis accidentally eats the wrong brownie, so the next door neighbor wacky cat lady eats a bunch of what we call in the show magic brownies. The moment the audience notice at the beginning of the show that the brownies are switched, they go crazy. It's bigger
it's like
reaction
sitcom,
than any
yeah.
song.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a they go crazy about that. That's probably the biggest.
I would love to know.
Moment.
This show is selling out, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Why do you think people love it so much?
You know, a good friend of ours, he runs Greenlight Cinema in downtown. His name is Chris Eaton. And I think Chris Eaton is a very hard audience member to please. I think he's a discerning person. He wrote me, and I thought when he saw The Night Before that I really thought he'd be like, what is this? And he wrote me this long Facebook message about how he had not been able to have a holiday party with his friends for almost 3 years, and this is what this is. So I think there's a warmth to it. There is, it can be, I think, very wacky and bizarre at times, very warm and very funny, but you feel like you're at the party with them, And so I think it is a little bit of a moment for people to kind of say, oh, I'm, this is the holiday, my holiday party this year.
It's, yeah, it's celebrating the family that you make. You know, it's these group of four strangers that are friends now, and they celebrate in four-part jazz harmony.
You know? Yeah, I know. It's so funny when all of a sudden they're like, yeah, ooh, like Manhattan Transfer. Oh, God, totally, totally.
What do you think the difference is between this year and last year, right? Are there any tweaks you made, or does it just feel different? We're a year out from the pandemic, or kind of out from the pandemic?
Yeah, we have new cast members, so he brings a different energy. But yeah, I think there's a lot of the jokes have been kind of rewritten.
Yeah, we changed a lot of the pandemic. There were some pandemic references, and there was a few things we left in. Just because there were song lyrics. Like, in a world of gloom and zoom, we're finally in the same room. We had to keep that. That's a great lyric, Michael. But yeah, we cut a lot. The puppets have been whittled down quite a bit, which is interesting.
There's puppets.
Yes, there are puppets. We did a backstage pass, which is a donor event where they can get just an inside look at what the show is. And they kept saying, oh, we loved it. There were more puppets this year. And we laughed because we actually used them less. But we used them with more, I think they were more focused than they were. Mm. Yeah.
Why puppets?
You know, what's funny is I originally wanted the show to have maybe six people in it. And Eric's like, is there any way you can, this was, you know, coming out of the pandemic in 2021. He said, can you make it smaller? And I said, well, yeah. And we had puppets from our production of Fantastics that I said, can you redress these puppets? And they will play those remaining characters that I don't have in the show, played by the other actors. So we really said, what all do we have in our big, we have this, you know, like America says, just giant stockpile of props and sets and costumes and things. What can we use that already exists to make a fun show? I think it has succeeded beyond my wildest dreams, not only just in terms of people coming to it, but I was petrified. I know you were too. The first day we presented in 2021, will people even like this? Mm. What were we thinking? We were like, oh my God, this is corny, and they're gonna like it, and they loved it. So I think that's what we needed
in the moment.
I think
right?
so
like,
too.
We just needed something corny.
I think so too, and that's exactly what it is. And I think it does. And guess what? It's 75 minutes without an intermission.
Oh my gosh.
You can get a Rudolph, what's it, the Rudolph Sangria, which everyone loves.
Yeah.
You get a nice drink before the show. It's like a
holiday party with a group of friends singing together. And,
yeah.
And like, there is a lot of warmth in it. So I think that's what, and how we all need to connect and, you know, come together. So
I also love that at this holiday party, everyone sounds good. Because like, when my friends had a sing holiday party, it's not good, right? Josh Sadorowitz up there, like, so off key. You know, I'm going to read Josh for filth anytime I can.
I love it. Josh is the best, but yeah.
And he's
helped
me all that before, so I don't feel bad
in
about
the key
it.
Of why bother.
Right.
Even the puppets sound good. We have a puppet Tinder date that shows up.
Yeah.
Stop.
We do have it. You'd love that.
I would love that.
The Tinder date is wonderful. She was something that I was like, what am I even thinking, having this gal come in? But yeah. It's
so
pretty fun.
Michael, I would love to know what's next. What's in 2023 lined up for you?
Well, we have a lot of these tandem events coming up.
Gosh.
Like you said, our next one is Friday with DJ Friday night.
We've got Barley Jean Merman coming.
Yeah.
Leros.
Yes. A lot of the Womacks, Erica and Belinda Womack.
Yeah.
Erica was in Rocky Horror in the Park.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the premiere of Oz coming up next summer. Which we're
so you and Erica have a lot of work going on.
Arrangements still coming up to finish the stuff. So.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And Matt, one question for you. Why do you work so much at the holidays? Like, you're doing this, and then you picked up Wonderful Life for American Stage. Like, what is it about you that you're like, I just want to work more?
Well, listen, any chance to be at American Stage is always fun. I love that. So I was very honored to be contacted about that. But I will say this. I laugh with Michael about this. I'm like Mariah Carey during the holidays. I'm busy. My partner, George, he understands that I will not be home much during the holidays. I mean, even this weekend, and I know when this airs, it'll be a different time, but when we're, as of this recording, this weekend, I'm doing a holiday party in a weeky-watchy Florida, of all places, in drag. So I just find myself very busy during the holidays. Why is that, you think? I think people want to have fun. They want joy.
Yeah.
You know, they want to laugh. They want, you know, and I'm not afraid to embrace that part of myself, that I'm an entertainer first, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mind doing that. I'm a storyteller. That's what I think about A Wonderful Life. I'm going to tell people who come the story of It's a Wonderful Life. And I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we cut to a commercial for probably Wonderful Life, I do want to make something very clear.
Yeah.
The biggest difference between Matthew McGee and Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Matthew McGee can hit a note live.
Ooh!
And with that, cut to the commercial.
Yes, Mariah Scary. That's my new drag name.
Hey, In the Limelight listeners. It's American Stage producing artistic director Helen R. Murray. This December, we're bringing Wonderful Life to Florida for the first time. It's a holiday event very close to my heart, considering I co-adapted Wonderful Life with Jason Lott. It's a heartwarming and bare-bones retelling of the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a heartwarming and bare-bones retelling of the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and I hope you'll allow it to move you as much as it has moved me. And you know the star. Your podcast host and local theater icon, Matt McGee, will take our one-man show to Coastal Creative, Studio at 620, the James Museum, and Gulfport's Katherine Hickman Theater, December 15 through 24. But I like to keep things unorthodox. He'll play all the men, women, children, and of course, Clarence the Angel. See the tour lineup and get your $35 tickets at AmericanStage.org.
Here we are. We're back with In the Limelight. Now, what's funny today is our executive producer, Abby, told me there would be a chicken here with us today, and that I have a problem with that. And I wanted to let everyone know, including yourself, I grew up on a farm. I'm used to chickens, cows, all the good stuff. So I love these beautiful animals. And we have Charlotte with us today, and she's gorgeous. She has a little Christmas-themed little jumper on her.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Dylan?
Can she
speak?
A little bit.
Yeah. Maybe we can get her. Maybe get her to talk. If anybody's been in Ybor City, they've seen the wild chickens, and they have a savior. Dylan runs a nonprofit sanctuary responsible for them. He's brought a feathery guest today. What is the name of this nonprofit?
So the nonprofit is Pro Animalium Group, but the name of the sanctuary is the Ybor Misfits Micro Sanctuary.
I love it.
Don't fit in with the feral population anymore.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. So that's why they need a sanctuary, basically,
right.
Those chickens. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So we take in several different kinds. People abandon some pet chickens who don't have the survival street skills that they need. And the territorial feral ones want to expel them. So we try to get them off the streets as quickly as possible. And then those who are injured and sick.
Yeah, and it can be dangerous. That expulsion, I don't know if that's the word.
Expulsion,
thank you. That can be dangerous for them, I'm sure.
It can be deadly.
Deadly.
Usually, if we don't get to them within a couple of days, it's usually a really bad outcome.
And Charlotte was not one, she's not one of those feral chickens. There.
No,
she
was abandoned in a parking lot. And because of her silky feathers, she doesn't catch any wind when she tries to flap. So she couldn't have gotten up to a tree for bedtime. She would have been on the ground all night.
They
and
sleep in trees?
Dogs and raccoons, yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I'm sure they have
trees.
To because there's just a lot of predators around.
Predators
and Ybor, I mean, of all
people.
How did you start this whole journey of starting the sanctuary? Like, what got you into this?
Well, I live in Ybor, and I was walking down the street, and I found a family of babies, and I decided they were going to be my babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I started taking care of them, and they spread out, they wandered, and I followed them, and I got to know their new friends. And next thing you know, I was friends with all the chickens in town. And I would come across one that would be hurt or sick, and I would Google everything I could to figure out who to call to help them. And there was no organization to help them, so me and my friends started it.
I love that. That is wonderful, because they needed help.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
I would have no idea what to do. Like, if I saw a group of babies, a group of chickens have a name? Like, is it a clutch?
A clutch.
A clutch.
A clutch of chickens.
So if I saw a clutch of chickens, I would have no idea. How did you know, like, what was the first step to...
A lot of research,
okay.
Asking people who knew. There's a lot of Facebook groups, because with chickens in people's backyards, if they have 10, 20, taking them to a vet is impossible. So there's a lot of resources online for how to take care of them, because a lot of people have to do it at home.
Yeah, they have home chickens, which is great because the eggs are fantastic.
Yeah.
You can't say that in front of the chicken.
I know. Well,
we actually feed the eggs back to the girls.
No!
Yeah, they get calcium back that way.
Yeah.
And it's good protein for them.
Yeah. I just need a minute. That's a lot to take in.
Is that a lot to take in?
I did not expect
they
that.
They love their own eggs.
Yeah, of course.
They probably
do crazier things. You wouldn't believe these chickens now. Charlotte's with us right now. She's so well behaved. She's just kind of
chilling.
Really
is.
We gave her some Xanax.
Oh, okay. Well, I had some too before this show.
Can you explain, because there's a lot of new people to Tampa Bay, why does Ybor even have chickens?
So in the 1880s, there was a big fire in Key West. And Key West has about 4,000 street chickens.
Yes.
And Vicente Martinez Ybor owned 11 of the factories that burned. And instead of rebuilding there, he heard of a town in Tampa called Tampa that had rail. And so he decided to move all of his people up there, rebuild all his factories there so that he can distribute his cigars across the country through rail. And they had the chickens. They, from Cuba to Key West to Ybor, they followed the migrant workers all the way north.
I know there's a great deal of pride. I mean, don't residents of Ybor really love these chickens, I'm sure.
The bulk of them do.
Yeah.
You know, when people are new and they move down here from up north and they hear roosters crowing in the morning for the first time, they're not as in love as the rest of us, but they come around.
I'll be honest, I've never heard a rooster crow in the morning anymore, but I have heard it at 4 a.m. when I'm leaving. Yes. So it's a little different there. But so my question, did you make this diaper the chicken is wearing? Where did you get this?
So this diaper comes from Etsy. So I know I'm not the only one, yeah. which is comforting. But yeah, they have all kinds of products for these guys. Diapers, hats, shoes, you name it.
You know what's funny? You know, Carrie Fisher's brother, Todd, his wife, has an emotional support chicken
no.
that she can take places with her. And it's a very, it's a, she says it's a great pet.
So, I've heard a lot of emotional support, but never a chicken. I also didn't know Carrie Fisher had a brother.
She does. Yeah, Todd Fisher. Oh, it's a long story for the next show.
Okay.
And her mother's Debbie Reynolds.
I'm gay.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Well, Debbie Reynolds, played Ebor probably. No, I don't know.
My last question before we go. How can we support you? If someone is at home listening, how can they support the work you're doing?
They can follow us on social media. For the sanctuary, it's at the Ebor Misfits. And we also have the Ebor Chicken Society, which is kind of a rough and tumble group. Those are the ones who fight city council when we need to. And
right, you gotta have them on there.
On the streets.
Yeah.
But the actual rescue effort is the Ebor Misfits.
That's great. They're clucktivists.
That's exactly
what I love.
That took me too long to come up with, but yeah. That's great. Look at that beauty over there. We're so happy to have you
She's
here, Charlotte.
Calm.
Look at her. She
Where
is
did she get her name
calm.
From?
You know what? I have no idea how I picked Charlotte. I think I had her for a week before I settled on it. I tried to get to know them, and she just seemed like a Charlotte.
She's a Char. She's a Char-Char. She's a Charlotte.
A Char-Char. Yeah,
you know?
Char-Char-Char.
Yeah, Char-Char.
How many chickens do you personally have? Like, are there just, like, hundreds running around your backyard?
No, the number fluctuates because we rehome them once we get them better.
Okay.
So sometimes we have a lot, sometimes we have very few.
Yeah.
So
is it ever awkward when you bring a date over of like, oh my gosh,
no,
sorry.
I'm engaged, and she actually, my fiance grew up in Ybor. And
oh
when she
gosh.
Was a little girl, she would see them in a storm drain or
yeah.
hurt, and she would cry because there was nobody to take care of them. So she's really geeked to be a part of this
And
project.
She found you, and you're the person who takes care of them. That's kind
Can
of beautiful.
Can I pitch something?
Okay.
So I don't know if you figured out a ring bearer yet, but if you could like maybe like attach the ring to the chickens, right? And then
we're
they walk down the aisle.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I think that'd be so adorable.
It's going to happen. I love
All
that.
Right, I love it. Well, Charlotte. Thank you so much for coming
of
on
course.
Today.
Look at her. Isn't she beautiful?
I'm just enthralled.
I'm kind of enthralled by the chicken.
Can we
I love
put,
her.
Leave her here.
Can we get
we'll
a chicken
her, we'll
in the night before?
Yeah, oh God, I'll put anything in that show. I'm never afraid to embrace bad taste. But
I don't know how the chicken tastes. I've not.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that. With the chicken here, we're not going to talk about chicken.
I know, so
yeah,
I pitched like, could we bring some chicken nuggets in?
No.
Weird. Well, but if the chickens eat their own eggs,
well,
what's the difference?
But what are you going to do? I mean, this is for a whole other show. Chickens eating their own eggs. What came first?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
The chicken did, clearly.
I know.
It's right there.
Right there.
Well, but the diaper's on, so
yeah.
it may stop the
What are you
going to
do? What are you going to do? Dylan, so great to have you here.
Oh,
I hope more and more people will protect these wonderful wild chickens of Ybor City, something that just makes Tampa so special.
It really does. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it is. We'll be right back after these words.
Next up on the main stage, American Stage presents Crimes of the Heart. It's a southern and sweet drama following three sisters. One is cheating on her husband, one never had one, and one just shot hers. Sound familiar? It's a blood-smeared theatrical production that made its way to the silver screen in 1986, starring Diane Keaton, Jessica Lange, and Sissy Spacek. In the American Stage production, expect a BIPOC cast, some sisterly laughs, and a whole lot of Southern hospitality. Running January 11th to February 5th, single tickets are $45 at AmericanStage.org. See our Instagram at American Stage for the theater trailer, cast, and more fun teasers.
Here we are at the end of our show. What a wild show today. We miss Jose, but Avery, you've been a wonderful
co-host. Thank you. I try. I am no Jose Aviles, but
no.
I do my best.
Who is, really? He's
Jose.
The best. I know
Jose.
Jose is. He's the best. But he's been so busy right now, too. Not just with Cirque du Soleil, but the wonderful school tour. So he's really out there.
He just
there.
Finished school tour, and you know, they just announced spring drama school. So
yes.
Adult and youth classes, acting for the camera, musical theater, improv,
American
college
Stage has
audition prep.
Such a great education program.
Yes.
And more people should check
and
that
And there's
out.
Early bird registration going on
right now. They can
Only
just go to AmericanStage.org.
/education.
I love that. Well, this is when we talk about our one last thing or we're toast. I actually have an exclusive. I saved this just for this show.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know. I don't know if it is that exciting, but it maybe is exciting. But anyway, in 2023, March and April, at Freefall, we're doing Baskerville, which is a Sherlock Holmes adventure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-person cast. Rarely. Eric Davis is a great award-winning actor. He rarely appears on the stage. He does it every 5 years. But no one knows this. We haven't even announced this. But Eric will be playing Sherlock Holmes in Baskerville, and I will be playing Dr. Watson opposite him.
Oh,
so we're
my
super excited
gosh.
For that. And the other three actors, it's what's great about this Ken Ludwig adaptation is five actors are in it. We play Sherlock Holmes and Watson. The other three actors, which we will announce later, and they're terrific, they play everybody else in The Hound of the Baskervilles. We're super thrilled, and this is very rare for him to be on stage, so I'm excited to get to share the stage with him as Holmes and Watson. So it's going to be a fun spring.
Gosh, that's
that
going to be amazing.
But I haven't announced it anywhere, and I thought, hey, why not here?
I kept waiting for you to be like, and Avery is going to play.
Avery, we've got to do
Who
something.
Who am I going to be?
We're working on a show, a version of Oh Hello.
Oh my gosh, we've talked about this for so long now. Like, just Avery and Matt.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what this has been today, and it's been a great preview.
Do you remember what I told you that our little bit should be to, like, open the show?
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Do you remember?
I think
you don't
remember
it.
Well, tell me. I'm old, Avery. I can't remember anything.
All right, so this is how I think, right?
We have so many wonderful ideas.
Oh, hello, Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
And you can be like, I'm Matt McGee. I live in Tampa, but I work in St. Pete. And
yeah.
I can say, hi, I'm Avery. I live in St. Pete, but yeah. I only have sex in Tampa.
Oh, my God. This is going to end up getting cut from the show. I have a bad feeling. Oh, gosh, so many fun things. But look at that. It's so great. So I'm really blessed. You know, I'm wrapping up the season with A Wonderful Life at American Stage, which you can get tickets right now for at AmericanStage.org.
Including a performance opening that here
right
at
here
Coastal,
at Coastal
Creative,
which is great. And I'm just thrilled to be doing a great Sherlock Holmes adventure at Free Fall in March and April. So lots of fun things coming my way and still doing this great show too. So I'm an embarrassment of riches. What a wonderful thing for the holiday season to feel so full, if you know, for lack of
yeah.
a better word.
Oh my gosh, now I feel like so much pressure. I don't have anything exclusive to announce.
Yeah, but
as the marketing director, I guess I should plug, right? We have Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And then we have Crimes of the Heart
a
coming
classic.
Up. A classic.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're doing our Lift Every Voice new play festival
which
at
is
the
always
James
exciting.
Museum this year.
Love it.
And then after that, Ragtime in the Park. So we have a lot coming up. But
a lot of great shows coming
you know,
up the way.
Speak in the Park. So
yeah.
The other night. I love going for walks before bed.
I know, I love this.
I love going for walks before bed. And so it's like 11 p.m. I just got back from the movies. And I was like, do-do-do-do.
What did
Avery's-
you see?
I saw The Fablemans.
Okay, you said you liked that.
Yes, I really did enjoy it. Yeah, I can't say too much more else, you know, they need to pay me. But
yeah.
So I get home from the movie, and I'm do-do-do-do taking my sweet self down to the pier. And I'm like, well, let me walk to the pier. And this is all getting back to Ragtime, I promise. I just take a little bit to
yeah,
get
yeah.
there. So I walk to the pier, and they're like, sorry, the pier's closed. And I said, how do you close a pier? But whatever. I wasn't going to fight with the old white man.
You don't
want
to fight with everybody. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then I keep walking down to Demon's Landing, where we do American Stage in the
Park. Which is great memories there. I say there's so hundreds and hundreds of memories there.
And I often think about the thousands of people that have come
sure.
to that park for almost four decades now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just so much energy there. So I sit on this bench, and I'm just kind of, like, chilling. It's midnight at this point. And I'm like, oh, it's such a beautiful night. I just want to, like, lay down in the grass. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I walk up on the little hill where the stage usually is, and I'm laying down. I'm like looking up the stars. Next thing I know,
you're sleeping in the grass.
Fall
Demon's
asleep
Landing.
At Demon's Landing.
Yeah.
In my skirt, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, passed out. All of a sudden, I hear, it's the security guard driving up on the golf cart.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta get out of here. I bolt up so fast. You know, I don't normally get out of bed that fast.
But they didn't
but
run you off, did they?
They couldn't catch me.
Yeah, of course.
You
of course.
Know.
And it's not shocking to see anyone sort of sleeping on the ground. Around
I was kind of bummed no one was sleeping with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
so maybe if, you know, I'll be out there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday nights at midnight if anyone wants to join.
You see how hard he works, honestly? You're falling asleep
really?
Anywhere? Oh, my God.
I still don't know why I'm single. I'm soliciting myself
well,
every
you
night.
Really are. You even wondered about dates with the chicken man, so I don't even...
I
you
know,
don't
know. I was you, just
everything
scared.
Was about a date, so yeah.
Hey,
we'll
look,
when,
being single is a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
totally
you're not just living your life, you're also trying to live a different life.
Yeah,
too, you
I
know.
It's fun. Fun times. Those are fun
how,
times.
Do you even remember being single?
Oh, God.
How long ago was that? 20, 30
seven
centuries?
Or 8 years ago. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A whole other decade, a whole other time in my life.
Oh, my gosh. That's a whole other episode to talk
it
about.
It is. I wouldn't trade it for anything. George is wonderful. He's probably going to listen to this and say, I hope he says something nice about me. But there's so many wonderful things to say about George.
It's a wonderful life.
It is.
See what I did there?
You did.
I brought
I
it all the way back around.
I love that. And I hope to see everybody there
it.
For that wonderful show.
All right. Thanks for having me on today. This was fun.
You're great, Avery. What a great In the Limelight. I'm sure Jose will be back. We hope so. We hope everything's going well with Cirque du Soleil. We wish him all the best. And we'll see you next time for In the Limelight, a great new podcast sponsored
by. Is it that new anymore?
Maybe it isn't.
What is this, episode 4 or 5?
Episode 4 or 5.
4. I guess it's still new. What is new nowadays?
I know.
We should just cut us off before this
gets. I know. Here we go.
All right. Bye, everyone.
We'll see you soon.